It's time to shake out your money-making truth. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Have you ever wondered why some people work really hard for their money while others live lives of joy and abundance with seemingly little effort? You are about to learn powerful, tangible steps to shifting your mindset and connecting to your flow of money and abundance. Jennifer teaches you to connect to who you are at a soul level and how to use that connection to create a personal and specific relationship with money. Learn how money is a powerful tool to achieve your desires and your desires to then serve the world. So shake out your money-making truth right now. Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. I'm Jennifer Bloom, host of Soul Wisdom Abundance, Create Wealth Through Spiritual Health. And as always, I am delighted that you're here joining us in this space, whether you're here for the first time, kind of listening in, wondering what's going on, or whether you've been following the podcast for a while, whether you're here because you're just sort of thinking about some spiritual concepts around money, or whether you've been trying, in quotes, to get them to work and it's not really going anywhere. There's a lot of really great information. That's the whole point of this podcast, is learning how to do something new with money, to be able to work with it in a way that's really supportive of how you want to live your day-to-day life. And I want to focus on that word new, because it's important for our conversation today. When we go to learn something new, whether it's about money or gardening or, you know, new recipes, whatever, right? Anytime we're learning something new, we tend to do it from the neck up. Right? We do it with our brains, we do it with our minds, and of course we do, right? Because how else are we gonna learn it? But if you really want to create that bridge between knowing something intellectually and being able to live it without a second thought, you have to bring it down into your body. You have to embody it. And, you know, that word embodiment gets thrown around a lot in the spiritual world. And the best example that I can think of to start off with is learning how to drive, right? I can remember very vividly getting behind the wheel of the car for the first time. My driver's ed teacher was Mr. Takis. And Mr. Takis was the basketball coach, and he was also the driver's ed teacher. And he was known for saying things like, you know, you don't really have to worry about the speed limit sign on the entrance ramp from a highway or around a curve. You can usually do about 10 miles over and it's just fine. Probably not something our parents wanted us learning, but you know, that was Mr. Takis. And so there was one afternoon I had a free period and I was outside with my friend who also happened to be in the driver's ed class. And Mr. Takis was driving by in the driver's ed car and he saw us. He said, "Hey girls, you want to get behind the wheel?" And of course, we weren't ready for it. We hadn't learned everything yet, but that was Mr. Takis. So off we go to this great big parking lot. And I so vividly remember getting behind the wheel. I can feel myself touching the wheel. And I had all these thoughts in my head, like, where are the dials? Where's this? Where's that? What, you know? And then he's like, "No, really, press on the gas pedal." And I felt like I was flying. I was doing 2 miles an hour, probably. And all these facts and figures were in my head. And now, of course, 35 plus years later, after all of that, and probably a million driving miles under my belt, I get in the car and I don't even think about it, right? I mean, I know how to work with my mirrors and my gauges and all of that. And that is really, you know, we can call that embodiment, right? It's sort of that rote understanding. It's that deep knowledge of and practice. And it's the same thing with spiritual concepts. We get to the point where we listen to podcasts and we read books and we get it all in our heads, and then we're frustrated because it's not something that's being lived in our day-to-day life. And again, it's that process of embodiment, bringing it into our body so that we can really live it. But the more I said the word embodiment to myself, I've been thinking a lot about this word because I really want people to be able to use what I'm teaching. I realized I didn't know very much about the actual process of embodiment. So off I go to Google. This was a couple of months ago. Off I go to Google to look it up. I'm like, wait a minute. I know who I can have a conversation with. This is ridiculous. I don't need Google. I've got Lydia Mandel. And I am thrilled that you are here today to help have this conversation. So welcome. I'm really glad that you're here.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah. As you were talking about that, about being in the car, I distinctly remember doing all those things that you said, but also thinking there's going to be a day when I don't have to think about this.
Yeah. Go. You were three steps beyond me. Yeah. Yeah. So let me just tell people a little bit about you, right? So you are an intuitive breathwork and an embodiment coach. You are a spiritual teacher. You're a licensed professional counselor. You're a certified art therapist. And when you're working with your clients, you are really bringing them through, whether they're going through some kind of a transition, right? Helping them come back in and land fully embodied in this next phase of their life. And I'm sure you're doing more than just with life's transitions, but that is really the work that you do. And you have so many amazing body-centered practices. And there's more that we can talk about in the next 25 minutes. But I'm really, really fascinated with this idea of embodiment. So without wanting to sound like a Webster definition or dictionary person, when you think about embodiment, what does that mean to you?
For me, I'd say embodiment feels like it's feeling into something. So for instance, when we talk about, your desires or when we're talking about abundance, even to really imagine being in that space, say, I'll give you kind of a simple example. So you say you want a specific car. I say, go drive that car, like go do a test drive and then imagine yourself driving that car. And then you have the feeling of what it feels like. So when you have the feeling of what it feels like, it becomes more real to you. Or embodiment is also about creating your own feeling of what something will be like so that you can be in the, you can be in the present, even though you're in the, you can be in the present with yourself for what you want in the future.
Right. Because how can we create something that we don't know anything about?
Right.
I mean, if we don't have that feeling state, right. Right. And so, and then energetically, I would say that that feeling state is what is we're actually literally communicating out to the universe, right? That the feelings are the language, right? So when we have that feeling state, it's as if we are creating that tuning fork that says this is what I want. Right. And so why is that different? And I don't mean to be doing like a deep, total deep dive on the actual word, but why is it different that when we feel it than when we think it?
That's a great question. So when we think it, we keep it in, it's almost like we keep it contained. Like we were saying before, like neck up. And I know a lot about living from the neck up because I've experienced that myself. So from my own experiences, what I noticed is when I brought in practices that connected me to my body. So for instance, breath work or dancing, movement, then I could say, oh, it's not just about the thought, and I could put motion to it, or I could put feeling into it. And it's creating a space to actually live it instead of think it. So I think that that's what I mean by embodying. And I think in Western culture, we don't do a lot of embodying. You know, people get embarrassed if somebody just gets up and spontaneously dances, you know, in some other cultures, that's totally normal and cool, you know? And I think we just, you know, anything to do with our bodies sometimes can be uncomfortable. So when we talk about embodiment, sometimes I think there's a lot of like shame around embodying things. There's a lot of negativity around that people have experienced in the past. So I think that's why it's harder to embody for a lot of people. But when you do it, you know it. So when we talk about having a gut feeling or just knowing in your heart, that's what we're talking about with embodiment, is feeling those deep feelings within your body and using that as a compass point for your desires, like knowing like, oh, wow, I'm really receiving this. I can feel that feeling.
Yeah. You know, and as you're speaking, what came up for me was, I think a lot of us, and I will raise my hand for this, in certain circumstances, and before I kind of did some of this, some of the deeper work around issues is it's scary to check in with your body, right? It's scary because sometimes that sense that our feelings are there, and it's a lot easier to just sort of stay on track, do what you're supposed to do. If you just sort of stay up in your head and you chug along and you just go, right? If we check in with our bodies and our body says you're tired, or your body says this is dangerous, right? You're on the border of exhaustion. Or if your body says I'm really heartbroken that I haven't gotten what I want yet, I think there's this sense of feeling like we're going to be completely overwhelmed, right? I'm just going to end up swimming in my emotions and I'm never going to be able to get back out.
Right. And I think many times when people have given into that impulse or that thought, they've either judged themselves or have had experiences where embodiment doesn't feel safe. So when you start to create embodiment for yourself, when you consciously don't try to override what's happening in your body with your brain, because we all do that. Like you said, I'm going to keep chugging along. I'm going to just, I feel horrible, but I really want to finish this project. So I'm not going to attend to my feelings or my body, even though I'm exhausted. So we use that override of the brain, not to check in with our bodies. It feels like it is doing a disservice to your body, but it feels like you're doing the right thing because we've been conditioned for that. So, and if you've checked in with your body and had a negative result, then it feels like, oh, got to get back to the brain. So it's so important to ease into it, because you're not just going to wake up one day and be completely embodied, because it's scary for a lot of people. So what I think is cool about, making that shift, is that it doesn't have to be immediate. It can be one, maybe you start with your breath, and notice what it's like to breathe. Notice what it's like to breathe and be in your body breathing. Maybe you start to just sway back and forth or move your body a little bit. What does that feel like? And really check in with all the parts of your body. And then a cool thing that can happen is you start to trust. When you start to trust that your body knows things, because our bodies are so full of wisdom that we don't even tap into because we think our brains are more powerful. And that they're two separate things. It's all connected. When we start to tap into that, we can have the experience of being embodied and we can trust way more than maybe we have in the past, but it does take some time and some energy and connection.
Okay. So I'm starting to get the sense that I'm thinking of embodiment in a much smaller way than what it actually is. So I'm thinking of taking, here it is, right? Because I want this, I want to be able to live a concept, right? And I think about taking that concept and embodying it. But it feels like what you're speaking about is even bigger than that. It's actually learning how to be embodied in whole, right? To be able to walk through my day-to-day life in an embodied way, rather than just it's the reverse of the chicken with its head cut off, right? It's only the head, to use a really terrible analogy. Oh, let's leave that one out. But I'm talking about, right? So it's this bigger idea of actually living from the body's wisdom.
I think that's like the big embodiment. But I think if we can kind of, break it down, a great way to start to embody is to use your brain and your body together to imagine and feel what something will be like. So when we're talking about abundance, I want a beach house with giant windows and hardwood floors that I can dance on every morning. Well, guess what? I got windows and I've got hardwood floors. So I dance. And I can be in the energy and, hear the waves and really move into the energy of that and be in my body and say, yeah, that would be amazing. I would love that. And really tap into what I love in that moment. And that, I think, is a way of embodying for abundance, but really feeling it. Cause I could just write a list of all the things I'd like or how the ways I'd like to be abundant. But, you know, if I can imagine what it's like to open my bank account and say, wow, that's like, it feels really good to have, you know, this much money in there. So I think that's what it's really like, not only what will it be like intellectually, but what will it feel like?
Mm-hmm. And then I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just said, what will it feel like in your body?
Yeah. And I think that, so once we are, I love what you had to say a little bit earlier about that connection between the body and the mind, and that we've been conditioned to believe that what our head believes is the gold standard. And yet our bodies, right, carry wisdom. Our bodies carry, right, we have memory all over our bodies. We carry cellular memories of everything that we've been through. And it is a really easy way to push those when we've had an experience around money or abundance that wasn't very pleasant. It's really, we can push it down, right? We can say with our heads, okay, just, and again, this is unconscious, push it down. But when we're in that space of feeling, right, if you're in that place of movement or dance or feeling what it would be like to be, I can feel it, right? Because I can see it, right? The beach house and the windows and the floor and being there. When we do that, we can have our bodies then tell us what we're holding as far as our beliefs that are in opposition to it, right? That, so that's right. One big plus of moving into the body so that we can start to understand, okay, so I've consciously wanted this thing for a while. I have consciously wanted this much more money flow in my life, or I've wanted to live in an easier manner for a while and it's not happening. Why? Well, perhaps it's because we've got this belief that if we have X amount of money, we're going to turn into this really nasty person, right? That money brings out the worst characteristics, right? But the body holds that, so we can access it, right? When we learn to be more of a place of embodied.
Yeah. And I think that what another thing that happens is when we're in the process of creation. So when we're in this process of, you know, what are our dreams and how are we creating them and all of that, we're starting to, when we start to feel into it, it brings our vibration to the place where we can actually receive it. Mm-hmm. We can talk about it all we want, but when we're actually in the feeling of it and the knowing of it, that deep knowing and feeling of it, it brings us up to a level where the universe is like, oh, I see. I already knew this was for you. It's already planned, but you're ready now. So I think that that's one of the things that happens too, is we elevate ourselves to a level where receiving is actually possible, because you know, we may want things, but if we're not in the right embodied space, I'm like thinking, did we say headspace or, you know, right, then we're not there yet. So I think that's a pretty interesting thing too, is how when we're ready and we're fully embracing and feeling, that's when things can actually show up. It's like that flow state.
Yeah. And when I think about that flow state, the word that comes to me is expectation. And that talk about a word with terrible connotations behind it. But energetically, when we're in that space of expectation, that space of deep knowing, that space of, yes, this is on its way. I don't know when it's coming, but it's coming, right? It's like all of our receptors are, you know, I feel my chest opening up and really wanting, and you know, and as you said, then the universe can see us and say, okay. And it's like this little, you know, I've got so many visual metaphors today, I guess, but you know, it's like those bristle blocks or Legos or whatever. It's like, okay, yep. Now it's a match. And it can be a challenge though, I think, when we haven't practiced to be in that open receptive state. What do you share with your clients about being safe to be in that open space and being in that embodied place?
I think one of the things that I share is that if you can create safety within your body, within yourself, then you can be safe to receive. So I think so many people show up not feeling safe in their bodies or safe to connect with their bodies or engage or even interact with their bodies in a way that feels good and actually, you know, useful to in their process of embodiment of abundance. And so what I usually will have people, you know, work on, you know, finding a movement that helps them feel safe so that they can move, come to the movement of safety in their bodies. And then we can move from there to say, okay, I'll know I'm ready when I feel this safe feeling. Yeah. So it's creating a feeling that they're going to use as a way to recognize that they're ready. So it's kind of like if you walk into, like, I know when I was looking at houses, I would walk into a house and go, I can't live here. And I'd leave, you know, and then I'd go somewhere else and go, oh yeah, yeah, it's good. So I kind of call it that yeah feeling, you know, like you just know. Yeah.
I've got so many thoughts in my head and I'm trying to sort through to say what it is that I want to say here, because the idea of being safe in your body to me, you know, as someone who has struggled with her weight my entire adult life, the idea of being safe in my body is a challenge, right? Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I know what that gut level feeling feels like. And, so to be able to give ourselves permission and to have some sort of a technique that says, okay, doesn't matter what size I am, right? It doesn't matter what my body looks like, doesn't matter what it's feeling like today, what sort of creaks and groans it's making today. But when I'm doing this, and you know, whatever it is that I'm doing, that in itself is going to give me a sense of safety.
Yeah. And it's so amazing when you can create that safety, you know, with a coach or with, you know, and then within yourself. I think that's the amazing part, is you've already got it. It's just tapping into it. And we don't learn safety. I mean, nobody teaches us how to be safe in our bodies. Nobody teaches us to trust our bodies. So when a lot of people go, embodiment, I don't want anything to do with that, you know, and I don't blame them. I didn't want anything to do with it either. And the more I started doing, you know, embodiment practices for myself, I was saying, I'm doing people a disservice by not sharing this stuff with them, you know, in my sessions, you know, within coaching it. And, you know, breath work is inherently, you know, embodied, but, you know, even within that, offering other, you know, some other techniques too. So I think the more that I was able to process through my own, you know, body shame and, you know, feeling unsafe or feeling like too much or feeling like too little and, you know, all those things that don't make you feel whole, the more I could access that embodiment, the more I got braver. I got, like, you know, more willing to ask for what I wanted. And that's what I want for everyone, to be able to say, I really desire this, and it doesn't sound crazy. You know, I'm the kind of person who gets to have this too.
And what a full, rich experience it is when we allow that beyond just the head, right? When it becomes something that we are walking through our life with, right? And if you're going to walk through your life with something, you got to bring your body along, right? There's no way to do it just from the neck up.
Right. And I think that one of the things that I had to remind myself of is, I've done, my body has been in many different states throughout my life. I've been bigger, smaller, you know, whatever, you know, and I have always accomplished things. I've always had friends. I've always had good relationships, you know, but in the times when I wasn't feeling good about myself, I think that I wasn't able to appreciate those things the same way I have when I'm more in more embodied state.
Right. And that it is the embodied state, not the mirror state or whatever it is that you're looking at, right? It's that internal feeling. That's what we're going for here. It has nothing to do with size. It has nothing to do with any of it. It has to do with that really deep friendship almost, or connection, or, you know, with our bodies.
Yeah. So if you're out somewhere and you look around, you can tell who's embodied and who's not. If you see how people walk and move in space around you, like some people, you know, you might see someone just walk into a room and just be blown away by their presence because you can feel how confident and embodied they are. So I think that that's, you know, something to look at and notice when you're, you know, just when you're out and about as a kind of experiment.
Ooh,
say, this person's really embodied, you know, and it could be anyone, regardless of, you know, shape, size, height, all the things that, you know, people think are important in terms of confidence and, you know, and being embodied, but you can tell who's embodied and who's not. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not as a judgment, but just as a way to say, wow, I really appreciate the way this person is showing up.
That's what it looks like. Yeah. Yeah. Cause we can tell, right. You really get that sense. You can really, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really cool. Well, you know what? I think this is a great place to pause and take a quick break. So you're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance. I'm your host, Jennifer Bloom, with my guest, Lydia Mandel. And when we come back, we're going to take all of this information that we've been talking about, and we're going to put it into practice. We're going to take turns doing some embodiment exercises so that you can get a chance to really understand what it is that we've been talking about in theory so far. So we'll, like I said, we'll take a quick break and we will see you in just a moment.
Did you know that each Enneagram type has a different worldview, different patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving? They also have essential qualities that are unique to their type. Understanding this helps us develop more tolerance, respect, and appreciation for ourselves and others. Renee Siegel works with individuals, couples, families, and groups using the Enneagram to build better relationships as a tool in addiction recovery. Visit urpurepotential.com for more info.
Are you living life, or is life living you? Tap into the divine love, healing, and wisdom already in you with T Lotus on Triple L, the Live Love Lotus Show, every first and third Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about how to consciously create your most incredible life, join the Sacred Path online community. It's free. Visit thesacredpath11.com to join. That's thesacredpath11.com.
Join Jennifer Noel Taylor on the hit show Quantum Touch Radio, supercharging your life on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll take a quantum journey as well as reveal powerful yet simple steps to create more abundance, better health, emotional and mental vibrancy, and happier relationships using universal quantum touch principles. For more information, visit QuantumTouch.com.
We're back on Soul Wisdom Abundance with me, your host, Jennifer Bloom, and my guest, Lydia Mandel. We've been talking about all things embodiment, and now we get to practice it, which is the fun part of the show, in my opinion. But I tell you what, Lydia, before we dive into the exercises, can you share with people how to find out more about you? And I know that you've got a free offer for the people who are listening. So if you want to share a little bit about that, and then we'll move forward.
Yeah. So the places you can find me are on my website, lydiamandel.com. You can also find me on Facebook under Lydia Mandel. And I have a Facebook group for women called Embody Your Fire, Cultivating a Life That Ignites Your Feminine Power. So we talk a lot about embodiment and deep connection to yourself, especially in middle age, because that's where I am and that's where my people are. And my offer is I have 5 spots available for people to have a deep connection call with me, where we will sort out some of your blocks. We'll come up with some ways to embody and move through those blocks through embodiment, and then also what your next best step is. you know, to continue working on that, and so that you can achieve some embodiment. So I do have 5 spots available, and you can reach out to me at my email, lydia@lydiamandel.com.
Super. That's a really generous offer. I'm excited for people to be able to get to experience you and to experience, okay, what would it look like around my specific circumstances, right? How can I use embodiment in this particular case? So I'm really going to encourage people, reach out, connect with her. She's really cool. She's got a lot of really cool tools in her tool belt and lots of really amazing transformation. So okay, let's shift into bring this into the practical viewpoint. I'm going to go first, and then you'll go second. So, and of course, as is usual on the show, I like to talk about money languages, and Lydia has already had all of her languages identified. So we're not going to do an actual identification, but let's chat about one of the money languages in particular, and I'm curious about what you have to say about embodiment in relationship to the money tone. So just for people who are listening, if this is the first time you're hearing about these money languages, these are energies that we've brought with us when we came to the planet, when we embodied here on Earth. And these are energies that are here to support us in our conscious relationship with money. It's how our soul wants to play with money. And the category of language that we're talking about is the tone. And tone is the language that is all about, and this is in the money realm, this is all about the being state that is going to allow money to flow for you. This is, you know, there's 107 different ways that this could go for each of us. And for you, Lydia, it's soothsayer. That's the name of the language. So let me just read the first part of the description here. So as a reminder, and for people who are listening who haven't heard this part before. So with soothsayer, your soul's preference is to speak the divine truth of money, both as it is now and what is changing and coming to be on the planet. And then the unique part about the tone is that there's something called the abundance being state. And the abundance being state for soothsayer is trust, knowing, and guided. And what that really means is that for your soul, when you allow yourself to feel those particular feelings, when you let those feelings run the show, so to speak, in relationship to making decisions around money or what you're going to create, that is going to help draw abundance through you and through those experiences. So can you share a little bit about your experience with those feeling states in relationship to money?
Yeah. I think, you know, it's as you're saying, you know, trust, and you know, it all sounds like the stuff we were just talking about.
Isn't that funny?
it's really funny. So, yeah, I think that when I've been in a state of trust and allowing guidance, I have definitely been more able to receive abundance in, you know, in relationships and money, having, you know, in all ways of abundance, but particularly with money. I would say that when I try to think too much about things, or when I'm really focused on trying to get it done and like make it happen, that's not really when the money shows up for me. I mean, all those things need to be done, but when I trust that flow is coming, and I trust that what I'm putting out into the world is valuable and that people want to receive that, then money shows up from all over the place. Yeah, so it's definitely being guided too.
Yeah, and isn't it interesting about how money then shows up in lots of different places? It isn't just the course that you're putting together or the offer that you're putting together, right? It can show up in so many different, out of so many different vortexes. That's the word I love. I'm an Abraham Hicks person. So right, I imagine all these little vortices around me that are just like dropping money. And right, so when we get in that, when we allow ourselves to be in the being state, that feeling state, of our tone. And of course, if you hear words like trust and knowing and guided, yeah, that's something that everybody, right? That's a good starting place for everybody. But because it's a language that you carry, is particularly important, right? As opposed to being in your headspace. And of course, something that you've noticed, right? When I'm up in that headspace, when I'm trying to think it out, when I'm trying to mentally create it, it's just not gonna work.
Right.
And so when we know this aspect about ourselves, if something isn't flowing, if money isn't flowing, if abundance isn't flowing, this is the go-to feeling state, the go-to embodiment state that's going to allow us to flow. For me, the abundance being state for my tone is open-hearted, creative, and non-attached. And it's the non-attached part that I know I have to watch for myself, you know, because sometimes it's like, wow, I've created this thing that I really love it. And I just really want it to be out in the world doing its thing. But the more I just let it be, the more I just say, you know, put it out, right? Here it is out into the world and just love it from afar. Then it's a similar experience. Money comes not only from that particular program, but it seems to drop in from a lot of different places.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, when you're, that non-attachment is really important, and especially since it's part of your language too.
Yeah, exactly. And again, it's one of those things. Yes, it's important for all of us, but that it's one of those red flag things that I know that I have to watch out for. Mm-hmm. That if I allow myself to be in the attached space, things are not so bueno. So, is there a practice that you do that allows you to be in that space of trust or guidance or knowing? Do you have a specific practice around that, or is it just something that you know that you need to cultivate within you?
Yeah, there's a practice that I like to do for myself and for other people, or I do a short visual meditation, but then move into a movement practice. So if you'd like to try it.
Sure. Yeah.
I would be happy to show you. Okay.
Okay.
So it's a bit longer, but we'll do an abbreviated version of it. So I'm going to ask you to just take a deep breath with me, and through your nose, out through your mouth, close your eyes. One more deep breath, letting out your exhale with a sigh or a sound. Let's do one more. And then as you just keep your breath normal, you know, normal flow, you can breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth if that feels more comfortable. And I want you to imagine that you're walking down a path. And you're walking, and it can be anywhere you want it to be. And as you're walking, notice how the ground feels under your feet. Notice the sounds that you hear around you. Notice how your body feels in space, moving and walking. Notice the air on your body. Is it hot? Is it cold? Is it windy? And notice what you see around you. Are there animals? Are you in a city? Are you in the forest? Now, as you're walking and experiencing, having the full experience of the walk, not being tied down by any thoughts about your grocery list or the project you're working on, just about being in this experience in this moment, you notice a small house, a little house, and there's smoke coming out of the chimney, and this is the house of your desires. As you get closer, you walk up to the door, notice what the doorknob looks like, and open the door. And inside this house, you get to have anything you want. The house can grow or shrink. You can create anything you desire. It could be money. It could be ideas. It could be material things or intangible things. And I'm going to ask you to walk around the house and see all the things that are suited exactly for you, and to choose one thing. And when you have that thing, just nod your head. And I want you to connect with that thing, whatever it is, and ask it a question. You're going to ask, how can I feel into receiving you? And let that thing share its answer with you. And when you have that answer, I want you in that house to decide what movement you're going to use and where you're going to feel it in your body when you're asking for and ready to receive that thing. When you have that movement, just nod your head. Okay. You're going to thank that particular thing that you want, that thing you desire. And then we're going to leave the house. I'm going to walk outside. You're going to thank the house, thank all of your desires for being there for you when you're ready for them. You're going to walk back along the path, remembering what you learned in the house. And take a deep breath in. Big exhale. One more. And I'm going to ask you to open your eyes and share about the experience. And then I am going to do the motion with you, whatever it is.
Okay.
I'm going to stand up and do it if you feel comfortable.
Sure.
Doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. I love how my brain, I love how these processes work. So, just, you know, walking along this really beautiful pathway, ocean off to my right, and kind of a line of trees and to the house, and feeling it kind of morph and change as I was walking through. And what was interesting was that the item that I picked was this really beautiful, like, brass heavy candlestick, which, kind of interesting. I have a few ideas about what that represents for me. Right. But, you know, and as I was talking to it, you know, seeing everything, like, I got this beautiful 360 degree view of the, of this candlestick and the, and just the feeling of it. And I could, it's, it was big and heavy. So that's sort of what led to this sort of this idea, this movement idea that came up, was just kind of almost like a wide leg stance and sort of bouncing in place and really feeling that the strength of the foundation, I guess, is maybe even a better word, you know, just really being strong and steady in my own personal foundation. That you know, it's sort of bouncing in that space. Yeah, that's what came up for me.
So let's do it. All right. Let's stand up and do it. All right, I gotta move back far.
Gotta get my wires. There we go.
Okay, we can just, all right. So you're gonna lead me, and let's see. So wide leg stance.
Wide leg, kind of like a, almost a little bit bigger, like a second position in ballet, but like wider. And just a really, I'm hearing my ballet teachers in my head now, tuck that tailbone under. So I'm going to try and let that go. Right. Yeah. And then just kind of that up and down, maybe even a little side to side of just and right. feeling it through my feet. That was the information.
Yeah. So when you're feeling ungrounded or like your foundation is shaken a little, you might use this as a way to process. We can have a seat again.
Okay.
But yeah. So how was that? I have a few ideas about why you chose what you chose.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
But I think that that's, just to have that foundation, and especially if you're, delving into this idea of embodiment, like that's a foundation for you. Like I feel like it's that solid stance. And I find it's interesting that you chose like a candlestick, holder, because if you put a candle in there, it's a foundation for your light. It's a foundation for your ideas. It's a foundation for, what you bring to the world. And imagine if you could feel that embodiment in you, like, if you could really feel into that as you're doing it, like, whoa, you're unstoppable.
Absolutely. And it really speaks to my particular money story, which is the reason I got into this work in the first place, was having this understanding, finally having that aha moment of, oh crap, I'm waiting for the world to come to me with their money to show that I have a worthy message. But I'm not going to put that message out until people are coming to me. Well, that doesn't work, right? I mean, it's a catch-22 that never works because you don't put yourself out there. So this idea of having, of literally embodying, and of course I've been working on that, right? That was my old story and I've been moving through it. And yeah. I can also see where I'm ready, actually, as I'm ready to grow again in my business. That's an intention for this year, that my foundation gets to be even stronger, right?
Yeah.
That when I can hold the foundation of my light by myself in my body, like, yeah, then that presence, you're talking about watching people and, I would imagine that I would then show up in a way that's a lot different, right? There's just gonna be a different quality to the language that's coming out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love the idea of that, the sort of like solid stance, because I think so many times in, like in business or when we're talking about receiving money, when our old stories come to shake our foundations, your stance is going to be solid, mm-hmm. Because those stories come up. They do. And as you're just talking, I was thinking about that idea of trust and the idea of receiving guidance. And I think that I just didn't trust money. I didn't trust at all that money could come to me, because it was just, that was my experience with, growing up, and, I have to work really, 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 really hard. If I want, and there's hard work involved, but not the kind of hard work that I was imagining. Yeah. In order to receive. And it was more about receiving than it was about anything else.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is a huge part of a very conscious soul money relationship, is trusting money. And we all have these ideas of, I have to earn you, right? I have to earn you money. I have to do this, and I have to do mental gymnastics and physical gymnastics and all of that in order to be worthy of whatever is going to come in. And when we realize that that's not actually the sole truth, right, then we get to do something different. And then that's when we start to receive. I like the distinction between making money and receiving money. And there's always going to be action. We live in the 3D planet. There's always action involved. Mm-hmm. But there's different kinds of action. We all know what it feels like to be hustling versus being in a place where we're ready to be open and receiving.
Yeah, that word hustle doesn't sit well with me at all. Mm-mm. Because when you really think about what hustling means, it's about, going sort of beyond where you need to be so that you can, I don't know, it's or even the history of the word, and it's just how it's about kind of getting over, and it's like, I don't want to get over, I just want to be. So
right. Yeah. So, all right. So I have this, I'm going to come back to this exercise. So, all right. So I have this stance and this movement. What is your suggestion for people as, or me, all of us, about, you know, how often do we do that? Is it something that I'm just keeping in my mental, physical toolbox so that if I'm feeling a little bit shaky, like, okay, I can come back here? Or is it something, I mean, I'm already feeling like I want to add that to my daily sacred practice, right? That I would just add that in. And one of the things that I teach is that you want to get into the feeling state first. You want to get into a feeling state of joy, love, expectation before doing any other of your asks. Because again, as you were speaking earlier, right, it's that receptive state. So I can feel that as part of that process, that before I run through what I'm asking for, or even just even that connection space, to get into that posture, to so that that posture and that feeling of solidity and feeling the solidity, and then I'm going to even envision the candle, my light, right? It through there.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really beautiful daily practice. So long way around to really ask the question, what do you suggest? Is it something that you use when you need it, or something that you're always using, mixture of both? What do you suggest?
I would say incorporate it into your daily practice, because if you do that one practice, when you're ready for other, then you're going to notice, you're going to get in the habit of doing, of being embodied. You're going to get in the habit of saying, this is the moment every day where I drop into my body. And so, you know, and I integrate my body and mind. So when you do that and you have the visualization of that candlestick and the light shining, it's like you are grounded and you're ready to shine into the world. So it's a really beautiful visual. So I would say do that. I would encourage anybody to do that every day in your sacred practices.
Lovely. So this maybe was a question that could have been earlier. And I know that we're running a little bit short on time, but what might be a tell that somebody isn't in their body? Because you just talk about dropping into your body. I'm like, oh, I know there are, I mean, I can tell when my head's spinning and stuff. But what would you say about, like, when do you really need to start paying attention and knowing that you're not in your body?
I think everybody has their own tells for that. For instance, I know I'm not embodied when I start speaking aloud to myself. I know that I'm in so if that's, unfortunately, that's mine. Like, okay. Ding, 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 ding. Get in there, lady. You know, but I would say that cues for that are when you feel like, when you don't notice if you're feeling pain, if you're feeling emotions, like if you're so focused intellectually and you notice that you're, you know, you haven't paid attention to your body. And this is something that I realized that I think has, we can play into this too, is that over the past year, you know, everybody's been on Zoom. So right. I realized I wasn't even looking at my body. I mean, I do a lot of bodily practices, but I wasn't looking at my body, like my full body, because all I had to worry about was from here up. So I think that's another thing people might be experiencing now too, is getting back into their bodies or noticing that they have bodies. Because
yeah,
I think even visually seeing yourself like this makes you forget about what's down here.
Yeah. So, well, when you ask me to stand up, I'm like, what pants do I have on? I don't even think about it because it's from here up, right?
Yeah.
I didn't mean to cut you off there, but that's this is a big conversation. We've distilled it down into, you know, just under an hour. So I want to thank you for all of your wisdom and what you've brought to the table today. And again, I'm really going to encourage people to reach out, take Lydia up on these, on the session. That's a really, if anything within your body, mind is going, Ooh, this is something I need to pay attention to. Reach out to Lydia. She has a wealth of skills and knowledge and just really will treat you with a lot of laughter and joy and a lot of transformation. So we're gonna let that be the last word today. Lydia, really thank you. I'm really appreciative of you. And thank you,
Thank
all of
you.
you who are tuning in here to Soul Wisdom Abundance. Just as a reminder, I'm Jennifer Bloom, and I help people reawaken and heal their soul money relationships. And if you are interested in taking that a little bit farther, you can visit my site and you can take the Soul Money Relationship Quiz, or you can find me over on Instagram at soul.abundance. And I would love to hear what's on your mind. All right, everyone. So thank you. Soul Wisdom Abundance is here the first and third Fridays of each month. And I'm looking forward to sharing the space again with you in a couple of weeks. Until then, take care, everyone, and prosperous blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Jennifer Bloom or listen to past shows, visit jenniferbloom.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on any of your favorite podcasting outlets. Simply search Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.